Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. Here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everyone out there in livecast land. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast, and I'm super excited to be here today. We have a great topic and a great guest, my good friend and amazing business mentor and writer and author of The Amari Wave, Moshe Engelberg. Hi, Moshe.
Hey, Jim. Good morning.
Good to see you. How are you?
Good.
Moshe has written an amazing book called The Amari Wave, and we'll let him talk about that a little later for a minute and direct you to where you can find it. But he's going to help me today with an amazing conversation we're going to have about, it's all about me? Huh? What do you mean? You know, this has been one of those weird conundrums that has existed in my experience for a long time, and that is this concept that there is that we're here for the world, we're here for the earth, we're here to heal the earth, we're here to heal humanity, we're here to do these big, grand, wonderful things, and I don't have any issue with those things, but what I do have an issue with is that in almost every case, self is left. In almost every case, I seem to be left out of the equation, except to the degree that I contribute to the whole. And I posit that if you aren't the important thing in the equation, how do you contribute anything to anything? So that's really where I want to go with this today, and kind of really dive into this idea of enough with the, you know, accusations of being selfish, or, oh gosh, look at me, I'm so selfless. We're going to get into all that and kind of define it and dissect it and really get to a place of a much deeper understanding of how important we are to this equation. Each individual is important to this equation and to this ultimate experience. So what do you think about that, Moshe? Are you ready for that conversation? You ready to dive
in? Let's do it.
So we're going to start with a new little segment that I want to do here with us while we're live. And that's like, take a moment to focus, because when you're having these conversations, when you're connecting to yourself in a deeper way, part of that comes from being present in now, being present in this moment of what's occurring, so that you can connect dots, so that you can experience yourself in a much cleaner and clearer way. So what I want to do is we're just going to take about a minute, maybe two. I want you to get comfortable wherever you are. And even if you're driving, you can do this. You can simply just feel your body relax, focus your awareness into your body, and just feel yourself choosing in that moment to just let go of whatever you're feeling in your body. And at the same time, in through the nose, I want you to take a nice deep breath. In through the nose, let's do a count of five. Inhale, two, three, four, five. Hold that for just a second. Feel that air fill your body. And then release it out of the mouth completely. releasing out, keep releasing it out, push out every ounce of air you can, every bit of air you can. And when you've gone, relax into that space 1 second, and then take another deep breath in through the nose, in, hold it at the top, and release, pushing every bit of that air out, pushing past the amount of air you think you took in, pushing out all that stale air, all that stale energy, and now take another one. Inhale. Oh, hold that again. And as you feel that breath and you feel that new invigorating energy, just let it move through your body. Don't try to do anything with it. Just be with it. Again, letting it go. And now you follow your rhythm. Nice deep breath in. Take it all the way in. Fill every part of you as you breathe it. And when you're ready, relax and let it go. And just feel yourself focusing right in this moment, right here. Maybe your eyes are open, maybe your eyes are closed. If you can close them, just bring your awareness to about 2 feet in front of you, in that place right above, right where your eyes would meet, about 2 feet in front of you. And just focus gently. You're not forcing anything. We want you to be in a space of receptivity and a space of openness. That's all. Just breathing and being. Take another second, another minute here, and just breathe in nice and deep. And then let it go. And just for a moment, hear yourself, feel yourself. I am love. And just be in that for just a second. Good. And gently bring your focus back to the conversation here. And just settle in. Thank you for joining me for that. And I hope that it helps bring you into some focus for yourself. So, and that'll carry you a long way through the day as well. And if you find yourself getting a little distracted through the day, that's all you got to do. Take that minute. Anywhere you are, anything you're doing, take that minute and just breathe. Bring new energy into your space. Bring new energy into your body. Bring new energy into your psyche. And let that energy expand where you are so that you get different perspectives, so you get a greater perspective, and be with that. So thanks, everybody. So glad you're here. Let's dive. Let's dive. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So at the core of this concept for me is the idea of self versus self. And you say, well, what is self versus self? Well, to me, it is the duality that we sort of exist in, and that is self, capital S, being the connection to soul, the connection to all that we are, the small s self being that consciousness that animates this physical vessel, the ego, the part of us that kind of manages the systems, you know, can keeps things moving while we're busy doing whatever we're doing. So in the context of it's all about me, depending on where your focus is in capital S self or small s self will depend on what the expression of that it's all about me is about. Because if it's an ego-focused expression, it's going to be, it's not going to be connected. It's not going to have the feeling of it that you look for when you're connected. And it's going to be driven on emotion. It's going to be driven on thought. It's going to be driven on whatever energy is kind of smacking you around in the moment as you're dealing with your day. The capital S self, on the other hand, is that aligned part of you, the part of you that, as we just did in the meditation, brings you to present moment, the part of you that exercises that, the observation of the experiences that you're having, that can observe the emotion, that can observe the mind unfolding, and then engage where is most appropriate, or engage where you're guided, or feel the energy moving you as it spins up, as it moves to expand. That's the capital S self. So when we're talking about it's all about me, I'm talking about everything that happens, sources from us as individuals. Here we are, these 7.5 billion sparks of God filling this amazing organism called the Earth. And here we are all trying to survive, all trying to work, all trying to do all of these categories that we've been structured to do, instead of allowing this amazing experience to unfold for us. And again, that's the difference to me between small s self and capital S self. The small s self is can get really burdened and driven into needing to pay attention to lots of minutiae and lots of detail. And I'm the how guy, and I got to get it done, and I'm going to drive, and I'm going to force, and I'm going to make it happen. And there's all kinds of resistance in that. The soul guy is taking in the entire picture and being with this experience in relation to that experience. This is this experience being me, I, this body, this consciousness that is inhabited here, that has come to this time and space place in order to express, in order to experience, in order to grow, in order to learn, in order to engage this time and space playground. So, So that's a good place to start. Any thoughts you have on any of that so far, Moshe, or additions or difference of thought?
Well, I'm glad you're making this an episode, Jim, because the fundamental question of, as an individual, my role, or and this is for anyone, when we ask, what is our role? What is our purpose? Where do we fit in the grand scheme of things? And this notion of duality and separateness versus we're all part of a greater good, that is so fundamental to so many people on this path of clarity and spirituality. I think it's really important.
Yeah, I agree. It when you look at just even, I'm not even trying to, just taking the snapshot of where we are in the last 3 or 4 months, and many people may resist that and say, yeah, but we have a pandemic, but yeah, we have this, and yeah, we have that. And that's exactly my point. Yeah, we have all of those things. And all of those things are all telling us the same story. You know, I was thinking about the pandemic piece of this in particular because of the messaging that we're being given about how we social distance, how we need to stay at home and isolate. And I think to myself, people losing their minds about, oh my God, I don't think it has anything to do with staying at home except that they have to be with themselves, quite frankly. I think the resistance that people have to this process is that they have to sit with themselves. And it's an uncomfortable experience when you aren't used to it. But what I'm going to say to you here is, and the reason that this is so important and seeing this duality is that if you can understand that you're living in an aspect of yourself that is not serving your forward motion in life, it's not serving your joy, it's not serving really anything other than what you've been trained to learn about who you think you are, what you've been trained to know about how you're supposed to live in the world. And what I'm proposing is that the reality of it is so far afield of that. And there's, you can go that route. We've been doing it for hundreds of years, thousands of years, we've been going that route. Now it's time. We're in a place. We've never had a pandemic in my lifetime. We've never had, you know, is it fake? Is it phony? I don't care. Is there a conspiracy? I don't care. Why don't I care? Because what it's giving us is an opportunity. And what I'm enjoying is the opportunity that it's presenting. And that opportunity is go inside. That opportunity is be with self. 6 feet of social distancing. It means get out of other people's energy. Get out of other people's crap. Find your own space. It's not a bad thing. You gotta find your own space in order to share it with somebody else. So let these directions support you. Let the things that are happening uplift you. There's a lot of it that is ugly and not necessary, but you don't have to spend time there. You don't have to go there. So self versus self. Are you focused into the soul? How do you get there from here? Or are you largely focused in the ego? No judgments here, guys. This is not about you're bad for one and you're wrong for the other, or you're good for one and you're not good for the other. This is a process of observation. It's a process of understanding. You know, the great gift of this time is that it's not a week long, it's months long, and it's going to continue to be months long. We have a lot. I'm not trying to say we have all the time in the world, but really we do. But we have this time right now because it's all we got. So why not spend the time focusing there? Well, I got kids and I got to work and I got, yeah, okay. But see, you're still doing all of that in the context of dealing with you. So are you using work and your kids to avoid learning about yourself? Or are you willing to step in to finding the moments? The moments is all that's required. You don't have to have 4 hours a day to do anything. You can have 10 minutes. You can have a minute. You can have anywhere that you want to invest the energy will produce results every time. Every time. I have to stop and breathe and ask it to you so that I can so much in a deep part of this conversation. Any other thoughts on that? Anything?
Yeah, more? Yeah. This is big stuff, Jim. And I love seeing and hearing when you get into this inspired space and this stuff just comes through you.
Mm.
I hear it. your voice shifts, your energy shifts. And I guess it's moving from a lowercase s self to a capital S self.
Truly.
Yeah. So you feel that inspiration and it changes you and what comes through you.
I have over time, like even before the show, I was thinking about this because I spend, I give myself 2 hours before the show in the morning so that I can not feel out of the moment of being in this, because this is what brings me incredible joy. This is what brings me everything, you know, and you don't need this vehicle to live here. And I don't need this vehicle to live here, but that I have this vehicle to get to do this is extraordinary because I'm getting to do what I'm talking about. I'm getting to see, to shift as you were talking about. And I love your description of it because it's the same for everyone. I'm not unique in this. I'm unique because I am who I am, but the gift of who I am and the gift of who you are no less great. And what these understandings of shifting from small S self to big S self is about, and understanding why it is about me, is your incredibly unique gift, your incredibly uniqueness that you bring to this world that can be anything. It doesn't have to be, you know, we've been continually bombarded with the idea that the only way you're important is if you're successful, is if you're seen, if you're a celebrity, if you're, you know, all of these things, and that's not who we all are. You know, we're all different. We all have an amazing gift, and the cool thing is that when you're there, it feels so good. You're not looking anywhere else. You're not seeking something else to fill the space. The space is full. And right. So if the space is full, where do you gotta go looking? You know? Nothing to go looking for. You can be right here and have fun with it. So.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I think what you demonstrate for listeners and viewers is what it's like to be in that what do you call it? Capital S self.
Yeah.
And so you let us experience it. It's like, mm-hmm. And relate that to our own personal experience. Oh, that's what it's like when stuff just comes through me when I'm at the higher S, capital S yeah. self. Yeah.
Yep. And that's, you know, I do that in my practice too. I do that with clients as, you know, as I demonstrate techniques. I want them to feel it. I want them to feel the experience of the power of what they can create with this, with an exercise, you know, like with the breathing exercise, because it's so profound and it's so easy. And it just takes practice. It's just building a muscle. So it's great to be able to make that connection. And I appreciate having you here because you do the same and you provide a perspective that I think is always fantastic. You know, that's you and I have had many, many conversations over the years that just blow my mind. So
yeah.
As we move a little deeper into this expression. So now we're going to get into some of the touchier parts of this experience, the selflessness versus selfishness. And here again, we're going to take small S self and big S self. I've had a big issue in my life with this idea of selflessness. And really, it's been an issue for me for probably most of my life. And I've only recently come into a peace with an understanding of what that means. I could never understand how the hell could I be on this planet and then run around acting selfless? Why would I not want to be who I am? Why would I not want to fully embrace all of me? And why am I going to take me out of the equation is how I always viewed it, because I was always viewing it from the small S self. I was always viewing it from a selflessness that meant I was losing something, that a selfless person was someone who had to give up and sacrifice. And again, give up and sacrifice are two concepts that I don't necessarily think are useful, because it's assuming that we're being forced to something. And that's never the case. The only force that's being exerted is what you're exerting on yourself by the circumstances you create because of the level of resistance you may be experiencing or not experiencing. Did everybody follow that? Did you follow that?
Got it.
So for me, it was recognizing that I was thinking too small. I was being too small in my smallest selflessness. Yeah, the ego is like, heck no, I ain't going nowhere. I want this, I want that, I want to feel this, I want to do that, and then the noise is the cacophony of the ego fighting back. Well, through the course of doing the work, through the course of my evolution, understanding that small s versus large s, so selflessness as it becomes in the soul expression is to me now the integration of the small s self into the large s self. I'm going to say that one more time. The understanding that the integration of the small s self into the big s self. So I'm not killing my ego. I'm not destroying that part of myself. I'm not making it go away. What I've done is I've exercised the muscle, built the practice to live within the self part, the capital S self, and to integrate, to bring that wild child into the fold with love and support and non-resistance, to say, you do have an important role in my experience. You provide the spice, you provide the tickle, you provide the stimulation that helps me, through the vision of the soul, interact in this time and space reality in a way that continues to uplift, in a way that continues. And if it doesn't, then I know I'm having a small s moment. I'm having a small s self moment. And in that moment, the cool part of that is that you can then stop, you can breathe, you can reconnect, and then you can observe it instead of react to it. So now you have a whole different dynamic of interaction within the self that says, I'm focusing here, I'm going to be here, I'm in this, and I'm integrating this other aspect of me, because that is ultimately what transformation is. It is transcending and including what was. It's never about destroying and eradicating. It's transcending and including, because it all becomes the foundation of who we become.
How do you relate this to Wayne Dyer's quote to the effect of, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience?
Yeah, I think that's an even simpler way to put it, but and a wonderfully clean way to put it. Because really that's, you know, if you think about it in broader terms, 7.5 billion individual energies on this planet expressing. We're all walking this amazing experience and doing the best we can with it. And that's beautiful. And that's wonderful. And there's no bad choices or wrong choices. There's just choices and what we do after we make those choices. I love all the work that Wayne did, and particularly the simplicity with which he could communicate those things. Yeah. I thought he had a wonderful way of conveying, like you just said, that amazing wisdom that just makes it simple. So I strive to get simpler all the time. So any thoughts on the idea of soul selflessness versus the ego selflessness?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is I'm looking at the word selfless. Literally, it means one connotation is it means less self, like reducing or diminishing self. And I define selfless, or an attribute of selflessness can be, I don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's humility taken to an extreme. I learned from a teacher named Katie Wise this idea of humility humility. Come on, brain, find the word. Humility and dignity are two poles on a continuum. And we have someone like Martin Luther King who represented a balance of both. He demonstrated a great deal of dignity in his presence and his speeches and how he lived. And he was humble, was never about him. And yet he was never selfless. He recognized he had a powerful role and he mattered in this greater good. So a beautiful combination of small s and big S.
Yes.
And the extreme, or dignity taken to an extreme, becomes arrogance. So we lose the big S, and humility taken to the extreme becomes invisibility. We stop mattering. So I think what you're advocating is an integration of the two, of dignity and humility, but in a way that integrates to your point, small s self with big s self. Mm-hmm. And I would add, in my experience, it's hard. And it may be easy to shift states, but sustaining that point of view of I matter as part of a greater whole. It's our culture presents so much pressure, so many opportunities, we'll call them, to focus on, to move from selflessness to small s selfishness. That it's important we have vehicles like this podcast and many others that remind us big picture why we're here, who we are in relation to the greater whole.
Yeah, I definitely agree. This, I loved, as you were talking about Martin Luther, that the picture that went through my head when you talked about the integration thought made me think about the small s self in this context. Is the color of I got to get the words for this. So here is this enormous soul showing up in this tiny little body. And the thing that brings this soul into focus is the personality, is the small s self. So here's this massive energy attempting to be translated through this physical vessel. And you have this ego, this small s self, that is filled with all of these personality traits that we call them. And those things are the way that we translate this information. It's the way that we convey it, because it's the thing that people respond to. Meaning, yes, they respond to your energy first. They, you know, people, what we experience is energetic. But when you're dealing with people, as we all know, we're going through this, another amazing example of the whole Black Lives Matter movement, the whole, all of this stuff is just this reflection of these personalities that help drive the soul, that help connect people. So we're connecting at the personality level. It's allowing us in this time and space reality to relate to each other in a different way. And when we come at it from soul, we're not now knocking into personalities, but those filters, as they were, or filters is probably a good word. Those filters create a different level of interaction. Because if it's from the capital S self, then those small S's just become enhancements to the soul experience instead of detriment to the soul experience. So you're constantly reaching with your best energy. And so somebody like, you know, anyone who has that, who has adapted that integration, you can experience that when they talk, you can experience it when they engage. It's an integration and a balance within their energy that doesn't punch. It doesn't, you know, unless it's intentional, it doesn't bite, it doesn't sting, but it can be directed with such force to create great change in people because it's coming from that soul perspective. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I wonder if you could give an example of that.
So I'll use the example of you referencing watching me shift.
Yeah,
is a good way to do that, because what you experience, at least as you described it, internally, what's happening is the only way I can describe it is I'm getting out of the way. So I'm not intending to think anything. I'm not intending to say anything. I'm connected to the concept of what I've set up here, which is it's all about me. And I've done the work in advance to say, okay, here's the structure of this concept that I'm getting. This I'm going to call it a download because that's what it feels like to me. It feels like a block of thought that just sits kind of right here. Mm-hmm. And when I shift into that state, I'm still engaging at a personality level. There's still all these, the dynamic of the personality in operation, which is reaching to you and to the people who are watching. And at the same time, this energy is flowing. And as the words and the pictures show up, it's translated out. So the message is coming through the personality and the energy that's driving it is coming through the personality, but the energy is of the soul. I hope that didn't get too dense.
No, that made a lot of sense. That brings it to life.
And again, that's something every human being on this planet has the capability of. That's the beginning of who we actually truly are.
Yes.
The beginning.
Yeah, and I think the tricky part is when what comes through triggers certain ideas or fears or whatever, and it shifts us. So what we present is less authentic. It becomes jaded or biased.
Yeah.
As we step back in and get in the way. And to not do that requires a great deal of trust.
And we'll be right back right after this message. Hello, everyone. Jim Case here with the Science of Transformation and Adventures in Truth podcast. I am super excited to tell you about my new book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. This book is a deep dive into the evolution of fear in our human experience. I truly believe this book will change your life. When you read it and integrate it and apply this new understanding of what fear is and how it works, how it's used, you see that fear truly is a choice, whether we're using it consciously or unconsciously. And that awareness will create quantum change in your life, and the freedom that you can experience is extraordinary. Head over to www.adventuresintruth.com and sign up for pre-sales and getting information about the distribution of the book. I'm excited to share it with you, as well as some excerpts going into the future. And thank you for being part of the Science of Transformation family and Adventures in Truth. Have an amazing day.
And we're back.
Yes, over time, but it's interesting because it's not a trust in anything but this. It's yes. The trust that comes from knowing the soul is present. That bigger part of me is always present. And I choose to use that as my soft spot, as my soft place to land, yeah. As opposed to using the ego laying in one of those beautiful memory foam beds and just allowing the energy to surround you, or laying on an old wired metal framed couch bed, you know,
yeah.
That's lumpy and, you know, has all those challenges. But
yeah, and there's another way that I've heard you express this that I thought was very powerful and adopted for myself several years ago when you were quitting smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Words you used were, "We don't do that anymore," and you were talking to yourself. You weren't talking to out loud. You were talking to you, and you'd say "we." And I remember asking you, "Who's we?" And you answered in a way that ties very much into this big S selflessness. And when I walk through life with that "we," with whatever I'm doing, well. Here we go. We're going on a walk. We're making a call. We're consulting with this client. We're writing a new book. It somehow takes the pressure off.
And, oh, I love that.
Yeah, because it's not just me needing to cut. It allows stuff to come through me. If it comes through me, it's outside me, which creates the we.
Yeah. Yep. And it was a very profound awareness that happened around that, because every time I would do that, the energy would dissipate every single time. So it didn't matter how intense the craving was. I was observing the craving and saying, "Thank you. Yeah, we used to do that. We're going to do that anymore."
Yeah.
And it made all the difference. It was no resistance, as you heard me just say it now. There was no resistance. I wasn't fighting against the cigarettes. I wasn't fighting against the nicotine. I was being in the space that I was choosing to be in, which was not affected by.
Yes.
So that's a whole different outcome and a whole different approach. So,
excuse me one second. My assistant.
Yeah.
My assistant is calling. I'll be right back.
No problem. Zoe wanted to jump in and say a few words. Well, Moshe I'll carry on here for a minute. And talk a little bit about the selfishness and recognizing that just like selflessness has capital S self and small s self, so too does selfishness. Good morning, Zoe. Hi. Hi, Zoe. Nice to see you, pup. So with the capital S self and the small s self, within selfishness is another bit of a conundrum, because again, all of my earlier life, selfishness bad, selfishness wrong, you're selfish, don't be selfish, be selfless, stop being selfish. And I never understood it because I kept thinking, I don't understand. I mean, I get it. If I'm doing something that is hurting somebody else, that's not good. If I'm making choices for myself that are creating damage in some way, that's not a good thing to me. But if I'm making choices that are enhancing my experience and expanding my consciousness and expanding my ability to understand self and my relationship to the world, then I'm going to swim in that pool every day. And that's a big deal. But again, it was recognizing the difference between small s selfishness and large s selfishness. Selfishness from a soul perspective is, I think ultimately is recognizing the integration of small s self into the large s self, if you really get down to it. It's what we were talking about before. When it's capital S selfishness, it has integrated that part of the self, and now they're working together with the filter and the message and the being able to connect in a very powerful way. If you're using your selfishness in the small s and the egotistical selfishness, then that's a spin cycle. That's a circular energy that just keeps going down and going down and going down and going down. It becomes more and more intense because the acts of selfishness are not satisfying the need that the use of selfishness has been used for. Wow, that was convoluted as heck. Did you follow that?
Got it.
So I think that, go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to extend in a different direction. Do you want to?
Please. Ask?
Okay. I'm thinking of something I read recently. There was a map of the United States when it was mostly populated by Native Americans, and showed the gradual infestation, is that the right word? Gradual move of primarily white people, quote unquote Americans, into Indian country. And there was a quote about the language that the way it was justified was, this is divine providence. It's divine providence that we take this land and live there because you, the Native Americans, aren't putting it to its highest use. You're just letting it be. You're not dividing it, making properties, giving people estates. You're not developing it. You're not settling the land. So by mm-hmm. divine providence, it is God's will that we take this over from you and push you into these reservations. So to me, that's where it gets tricky. And we see all kinds of leaders use that idea of, this is for God, this is for a greater good, it's not about me. So I wonder if you can speak to that when goodness gets transmuted into something actually evil, but it appears on the surface through the propaganda we hear and believe that it's for a good thing and almost unchallengeable. How could anyone say, ask questions, challenge the idea of divine providence?
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that?
So I'm just trying to decide how far to go with this concept. Yeah. So we're seeing similar types of energies now, different context, but similar. And how I observe all of that is from a broader perspective, from a much bigger place in this picture. The individuals who are interacting in that particular specific situation, the individuals in that specific situation are in a situation that has been created by all of those involved in that situation, meaning it was, to the way I see the world, it is an event that is transpiring as the result of the desires of all of these people in some form or fashion that has come to this place for these people who are in this situation in the moment. Each person has a role in that situation and has an ability within that situation of how to address that situation, very much like we do now. if you think in, and this is why this is important. So if you think in context to the story that you just shared, there's a whole lot of context and information we don't know, don't have, and have no way of knowing because we're not there. And the version that we were given of that event is still filtered by the people who were told there or there or at the event, somehow got translated, and now we have their version of the event. So that's similar to what's happening now. We are observing many versions of the same events. We're seeing all kinds of different perspectives about who's doing what to who and why. And what I would posit here is that the difference between, as this conversation is going, the difference between being in capital S and small s is the capital S stops and observes all of it. It doesn't have judgment about it. It observes it from the perspective of, here's the situation of this engagement of energies. And this engagement of energies is creating a result. And how are we responding to that result? How are we responding to the potential of that result? Is there even a result? Or is it just story on story on story on story on story that has no relevance really to anything except continuing a confusing cloud of energy that keeps every individual here from being able to focus within their own self to come to the clarity of what they're observing. And out of that clarity that they observe, that we observe, we can then say, wow, look at all the craziness that I'm observing and how none of it really has impact on me. They can do all of that stuff in Washington every single day and have been for hundreds of years. I've been observing it and watching it more intensely the last 3 or 4 months, just kind of wanting to see what the flow is. And still, this is a conversation I had with my brother when our current president was elected, when it was going crazy and everybody was nuts. And I was like, you know what? I'm 50 whatever years old. And in my lifetime, the person who's ended up in that office has had really no impact on the choices I make in my life. Now, is that a naive statement? I don't think so, because I don't ever stop and go, gosh, so-and-so in Washington is saying you're doing this. Maybe I should think about doing something else. I don't ever consider it. I consider what I'm dealing in my reality. This is where I am here in Colorado. This is my reality. And I'm not saying bury your head in the sand, but I'm saying stay in your reality so that you can address how and what is going on in your own experience and make choices and decisions about how you continue to expand and grow. In this particular arc of experience, there's so many things that can be drawing my attention of the disservices and the dishonoring and the horrible ways people are being treated and people are dying and people are being killed and people are being maimed and hurt. And there's all kinds of, and those things have gone on every day for the entirety of my life. It happens that it's being focused now in a way that's trying to engage all of us in this confusion, in this story. I mean, look at the levels of stupid in this story from every direction. Everywhere you look, there's a different viewpoint. Everywhere you look, there's a different depending on which faction or which group you want to focus in, they all have a different perspective of this. And then when you boil it all down, everybody's saying the same thing, but they don't want to acknowledge that they're saying the same thing because that would mean we're in agreement and we might change this. Because that's what we really need to do, is to get out of all of this arc of story and bring our awareness back to self, capital S self. All the rest of it is story. It's all story designed to keep you from focusing on self while everything in the universe is saying, pay attention to yourself. So to me, it's one of those, like that time period, it's a time of incredible transformation and transition because we are changing. So what degree are we changing? And you can feel the impact of that because every decision we make individually, if you're making decisions based on what Trump's doing, you're probably not going to feel very good. If you're making decisions about what Biden's doing, you're probably not going to feel very good. Because as you look at the landscape, it doesn't look promising because you're not in it. You are not in it. Your energy isn't in it. Does it mean you have to go out and protest? Does it mean you have? No. My point is you got to get here first. You got to get to clarity here and then support the energy that moves this world forward. that moves us to a new place. And yeah, there's going to be things that happen that aren't okay. Great. Yes. People do stupid things. People do hurtful things. All of it is out of a desire to be right, to be happy, to be finding our joy. And the hope is that this one will help me find my joy. And what this whole universe right now is saying is, no, none of them will help you find your joy. It's right here. Your joy is right here. Look for the arrows. Right here. So to me, that's really where I hope I answered your question, because sometimes I get lost in the concept and I don't always know if I'm answering the question in the fullness that it was asked. So my first question is, did I answer your question?
You did.
Okay. Did it bring anything else? Did I bring it home, or is there more to it that we should explore? Or do you want to have more to add to it?
Well, yeah, the other piece. So the way I described it was with judgment. I said, so what we did as a nation then was wrong and even evil, justified by this notion of this is what God wants. And reflecting that we see that in our world today, we see that we've seen that for decades, centuries. Mm-hmm. And so it's drawing on this we idea, this greater power to justify sometimes what I consider selfishness and greed. But your approach was a little different. You were taking away judgment and saying it was what it was at that time. We don't know what was going on. And so let's, you didn't say take it with a grain of salt, but I think you were saying don't get caught up in the story, stay within yourself. And I recognize that could also be extended into inaction. Like Black Lives Matter. Well, I could get involved in protests and sign petitions and give money and get educated and take action in a lot of ways. Or I could just sit back and say, no, that's not my deal. I'm just working on me. And that seems selfish.
Mm. Good point.
So I think, in my opinion, we need to be careful of letting work on self justify inaction, because then it's only about me.
And again, there is a balance there, because it may not be your thing. It may have nothing to do with your energy. It may have you may have no connection to that, and that's not a bad thing, because that's the story of that's going on. If that story resonates, then you're going to move your energy into the space of that story, and you're going to engage in that story and begin to interact in that as a natural part of being aligned with capital S self. If that is the energy with which you need to be engaged, for some, it absolutely is. For some, it absolutely needs to be, because it is why they are here. They're here to bring this. Martin Luther King, there aren't 7.5 billion Martin Luther Kings. There was one. And there was one because he had a clarity about what he wanted to present and how he presented it. And his alignment took him on his path to sharing that message and to sharing that vision. And as people resonated with that, they began to become aligned to that story. And that story became the motivating factor. Even in his messages, he would say, the importance of understanding this, how we contribute as individuals, who we are is so significant. And being Black, being white, being brown, being whatever, it's all important. And so, again, you have to come back to an evaluation with self. And sometimes the best thing you can do is work on improving your field, because by doing that, you then touch all the people that you encounter with that new energy. And if that new energy is free of judgment, if that energy is free from illusion, that has way more impact on how it influences people than anything else in the world. Because the clarity of that energy, and again, we'll go back to the Martin Luther King reference. The man could walk into a room and he always had a bubble. He always had, and when I say a bubble, I mean, his aura, his energy was such that there was this sort of gravitational thing that went on around him, because he carried such a powerful message and such a grounded and powerful presence within that, the integrated self within that, that you can't help but be affected. But once you have been affected, how do you integrate that within your own experience? Because all he's able to do, all I'm able to do, all you're able to do is provide influence. This is an influential experience. I'm sharing my energy because I love to share my energy in this space. So if this energy in its clarity can reach out and influence somebody else on the other side of that camera, the other side of this microphone, because it's all energy, that influence can be felt, it can be experienced, but then the individual has to integrate it. The individual has to step into that field of energy and begin to make choices within that field of energy that aligns with their field of energy. So that only happens when you come in a space of non-judgment. When you're doing that in a space of judgment, it's different. I'll come back to it because I lost that trail there. But
okay. Well, I want to ask you if you would to and this ties into your book that's coming out soon about fear is illusion. What does it feel like in your body when you're coming from judgment versus non-judgment?
That is such a great question. Judgment, I would say the predominant experience for me in that is what I feel is resistance. The judgment is my way of defining my resistance. So when unconscious, it becomes defining it outside of self. It becomes, this is hurting me, this is affecting me, you are doing something to me, this is the cause of this. When I am aligned in here, then I stop and I'm still having, and to this day, I still react. My emotional system, my energy system, somebody does stupid shit, I react. But the difference is, it's not an unconscious, down the rabbit hole, ruin the rest of my day reaction. It is experiencing the moment of the reaction and going, wait a second, is that necessary in this moment? And sometimes I don't catch it fast enough. Sometimes it happens, the trigger is so fast that it goes there. But I don't lose my ability to get into objectifying that experience. And when I say objectifying, I mean not reacting to it, but stepping into the largest self and looking at the totality of this. And the first thing, and you and I have had many conversations where I'm like, this is what's going on. I'm doing this. I'm feeling this. I'm experiencing, and it's yucky. But I'm being in it because right now I don't have a better understanding of it. So the only way I know to get that is to just let it be. So resistance in my body feels, judgment in my body feels like a resistance that is uncomfortable. It leads to feeling negatively. It leads to feeling stuck. It leads to feeling like I'm hitting a wall. It leads to feeling a little crazy, depending on the situation, depending on the circumstance, and it can be a little bit of all of them. So when I am able to release that resistance, when I'm able to release that judgment, the resistance then goes as well. But usually it's in discovering the resistance that I released the judgment. Because there's something inside of me that says that thing or that person is about to create harm in my experience, even if they're over a television, you know, because the brain immediately goes, oh my God, this is going to change that. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? And am I going to have and you go, yeah, time out. But you got to have this, you got to have the courage to stop and say, time out. I believe I have been to the edge, to the very edge of crazy. And I mean that seriously, to the very edge of what is crazy. And what I observe there is that fine line is nothing more than my willingness to release my resistance. Again, my ability and willingness to release my resistance. As I got closer and closer to that edge because I wasn't able to or wasn't finding clarity, what it forced in me was deeper surrender. like, okay, I haven't found the hook here. I haven't found the thing that's holding this in place. So I'm breathing into it. I'm breathing through it, and I'm going deeper and surrendering deeper. Meaning, I'm willing to say, no resistance, no resistance, resistance free. Let it be. And so sometimes that means I have to feel uncomfortable feelings. I have to be in those uncomfortable feelings. But it's an interesting place because while it's going on, I'm still able to function. While it's going on, I'm still able to engage in my life because I'm not resisting it. It's doing, the energy's doing what it's doing. And by allowing it to do that, it's unlocking things that I haven't touched yet. Because as you migrate, as you take your path further, as you walk this path in your own life, you're going to find that the stuff gets deeper and deeper and more, sometimes more confusing, sometimes more potentially upsetting, but more confusing because it's stuff that isn't necessarily current. So you don't have any real way to relate it to now. So that's why the release of the resistance is so important and the release of judgment is so important, because it just needs, remember, getting conscious means bringing that 75-85% of unconscious to the conscious awareness. And some of that stuff is way down in there. And, it's embedded by things that we don't even realize happened, because that's the nature of how our system works. So if you can do it from a place of non-resistance, you can allow that stuff to sort of break up and unfold. And then as you see it, you go, wow, what? That was what was there? Holy cow. Because honest to God, guys, none of it is ever, in my experience, none of it is ever this big, black, deep, horrible, nasty, ugly thing, ever. It has never been that. It has been my judgment of it that makes it appear that way. But when it shows up in reality, it's virtually never that way. Never.
Yeah.
And I went there again. So you keep doing that. You keep doing that thing. I'm teasing. Did that answer the question?
Yes.
And is there more to it? Cool. So where are we at here? I think we've talked so much that we're almost out of time, which is okay because we've... We've gone through some major concepts here, and I'm going to skip a couple of the little things we were going to deal with because of our time situation. I wanted to only add to this, just to carry it forward again, about self, about being connected to why is it about me? Do the work. Find the things that bring you present with now. Use your breath. Your breath is energy. Your breath is the energy that changes your life. Your breath is the thing that heals your body. Your breath is the thing that moves you anywhere you want to go. And there are tons of schools of thought about how breath works, and those are all great to explore. I say keep it simple. Figure out where you can do it and when you can do it. Consciously breathe wherever you can. And when you're consciously breathing, conscious breathing is breathing in through the nose to a specific count. Maybe I'm structuring it for you. Breathing into a four count or a five count, and then breathing out to a seven or eight count. So making sure that your exhale is longer than your inhale so that you're purging all of that old air and energy stuck in the lungs and the body. But use the breath. Begin with breath, because you'll find the changes and the space that you create in your thought and the space that you create in your consciousness, that alone is stress relieving. That alone provides a certain amount of relief from all the stuff that we're being inundated with. So use the breath as the beginning part and then allow that to take you into quietness. And we'll get into more of that later down the road, but breath is always to me the foundation. Because it is the most radical way to change the most quickly and the easiest way to shift state. Were you going to say something? It sounded like you were jumping in.
Yep.
All right. This absolutely blew by, Moshe.
Sure it did.
It's like 56 minutes already. I'm like, wait a second. We just started. So I want to give you 2 minutes, please. Take your time. I would love for you to share about your book and let's talk about it for a minute because it's a great book. And your focus is in business and bringing love and introducing love back into business. So talk to us about the Amari Wave, if you would, for a minute here. And show it off and tell them where to get it.
I have a copy right here.
Fantastic.
This is the book.
Yes.
Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work, the Amari Wave. And I wrote it fundamentally to reduce suffering because I think business can cause a lot of suffering. And it happens when in business we lose ourselves. We lose our connection with what you're calling Big S. And we think it's only about money or it's only about generating this product or this service or doing this thing. In my view, no business exists just to make money. That's a byproduct, an essential and really important byproduct. And so the companies that do best and make more money put love to work. And I define love as simply energy that uplifts and connects. Energy that uplifts and connects. And you, Jim, were instrumental in coming up with that definition, as you may remember. So companies that do that, whether nonprofits, government agencies, for-profit companies, that choose to be uplifting and connecting in their work, prosper. It's a different way to prosper. And it ties very specifically into a sense of a higher purpose. And we're here as part of, so here the self is the company versus the individual. And it says we're part of this greater whole. And when we align with that and all the individuals align with the company in that way, that's when the magic happens.
And I just put up the website. Is that right? Is it the Amari Wave or is it just Amari Wave?
Either one works.
Either one works. Okay. So www.amariwave.com is where you can find Moshe and his book. And I want to thank everybody in Livecast Land for being here today and for participating in this conversation. It was a lot of fun. And Moshe, I appreciate you so much. Your friendship means the world to me. And I love that you're here and we get to do this dialogue. It's so cool.
Woohoo.
But the final message of the day, it's all about you guys. It's all about you. So look to the things that enhance and expand and deepen your understanding of who and why you're here, who you are, why you're here, what it is you bring to this planet, and how you can influence with your energy. Because you understand that it starts with you and from you then can change the world. Thank you all for being here. Have an amazing day. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Podcast. Thank you for joining us. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.